Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We continue our series on the full armor of God. And it was last Lord's Day that we saw that it is insufficient for you and me to just have all the pieces of armor on. And to just have that without accompanying prayer would not be enough. But it is our Lord who indeed challenges us, commands us, encourages us to combine believing prayer with all of the armor of God, which Jesus Christ himself provides for us. We'll be reading verses 10 through 20 for our scripture reading, and looking again at verse 18 as the Lord instructs us that we are not alone, but that we are locked in arm to arm as the army of God in believing prayer. Hear then God's holy word, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Having heard God's word, what is your response? Amen. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I begin with a question. Are you standing? And you say, well, what kind of question is that, Pastor? Of course, we're sitting. You're the only one standing. Well, let me phrase it a little bit differently. Are you standing in the strength of the Lord and the power of his might as the army of God? Is this where you are standing today? As the Lord's army, standing even in formation, ready to move forward. An army sticking together, an army speaking together, an army striving together, an army of the Lord advancing together. Well, this is only possible as indeed you put into practice what we read here, what God tells us in verses 10 through 20 of Ephesians chapter 6. And specifically, we want to look at verse 18. We want to drill down a bit deeper this morning and add to what we learned last week. If we are going to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, united together as the army of the Lord, we must have on the armor of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must accompany that with prayer. It was last week that we saw our need of prayer. We saw God's gift of prayer. We saw our bankruptcy, our weakness in prayer, and we saw God's wonderful provision for prayer in the gift of the Holy Spirit. But today we want to move a bit deeper and we want to think a bit more about what it means to be the praying people of God, what it means to be the army of God outfitted with Christ's armor, praying to the Lord in absolute dependence upon him. And so we want to look first of all today at the time for prayer. The time for prayer. As you look at verse 18, you read, you hear, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What is the time for prayer? What is the time that you should be praying? Well, this passage says praying always. Literally, it is in every season. Praying in every season, in every appointed time. This is the time for prayer for a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been bought by the blood of Jesus, if he's died for your sins, and you're trusting in his death for you, and you have been raised to newness of life in his resurrection, then you need to be one who is praying in every season, praying at every appointed time. I think this means at least two things. First, it means that you, as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, need to keep up constantly a prayerful spirit at all times. We are perhaps familiar with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where God there tells us to pray without ceasing. And here it's that prayerful spirit of always being, as it were, ready to pray. That as you're driving down the road, as a certain event happens to you, as you're at the store, or as you're in your living room, or when you are out on the ball field, that you're to have a prayerful spirit about you. You are to be one who is in constant fellowship with the Lord. That you are conscious of his presence in your life, his gracious, loving presence at all times and in all places, and that his ear is ever open unto you. And that as he by his Spirit reminds you of his word, that you are able to respond spontaneously at any and every situation with indeed the breath of a prayer. And so I do think here that when God says the soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ are to be praying always, that God is telling you and me that we need to keep up a prayerful spirit at all times in constant fellowship with our God. But I do think that there is a second component to this idea of the time for prayer. That there's an emphasis even on this second idea, that there must be appointed times for prayer without distraction. It's one thing to say, well, I have a prayerful spirit at all times throughout the day, and yet I never actually devote myself to praying. I might have a thought here or a thought there, but I'm so easily distracted with the duties of life that I am not actually dedicating appointed seasons to prayer. Here, maybe an illustration is helpful as we think back to the Old Testament economy, as we think back to the fact that God had appointed for his Old Testament church a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. It was a whole burnt offering, which was to be offered in the morning and in the evening. And that it was a picture not only of atonement from sin, that is, for sin, that we have forgiveness in the substitutionary sacrifice of that God provides for us in the whole burnt offering. But the whole burnt offering was also an offering of complete devotion to the Lord. And as God set up that daily routine, that daily picture for his people, there is something there for us to learn. Learn in our piety, even in our appointed seasons for praying. That when God says we're to be praying always, that is in every season, morning and evening sacrifice was in fact the season for prayer that God had established for his Old Testament church. And we would do well to learn from that. We even see this in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 3, as Peter and John go up to the temple for prayer at the evening sacrifice. And it is here then that we realize that God had pictorially presented the pattern of piety for his people. And so praying always, or praying in every season, isn't just keeping up a prayerful spirit at all times in constant fellowship with our God. It is that. But it is also having appointed seasons of prayer that are without distraction, that are focused upon seeking the Lord in believing prayer. And so, God tells us about the time of prayer, not just our need of prayer that we saw last week, not just God's gift of prayer, not just our weakness in prayer and God's provision for prayer, but the time for a prayer, the time for prayer. Secondly, Secondly, we want to think about the kinds of prayers, the kinds of prayers which God mentions here in verse 18, which he has sets forth for us. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. With all prayer and supplication. Now, as you read through the Bible, you'll find that there are different words for prayer, which are used at different times and in different places. But what God emphasizes here is that all different kinds of prayer are to be incorporated, are to be exercised by you in your communion and relationship with the Lord. Praying through all prayer and entreaty, all prayer and a supplication. One word which has been helpful to many believers in the past to put this into practice is the little word acts, A-C-T-S. It's helpful to think about the different types of prayer or different emphases in prayer as I come to the time and season of prayer. Why the word acts? Well, it is an acronym to help us to remember that certain things should be included in our prayers. The letter A stands for adoration. That in your praying to God, you should adore him because you love him. What we say of the newborn baby, isn't she adorable? Well, maybe, but God is worthy of adoration. He's adorable, right? Not as a little baby, but as the great and awesome God who is our Savior, who has indeed adopted us freely into his family, fully and freely justified us in the blood of Jesus Christ, indwells us by the Holy Spirit, puts his Spirit in us so that we would cry out, Abba, Father. We should adore him. And the second letter to the word acts is C. And that stands for confession. Not only should you adore God in your prayers for who he is, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he shall do, that you should adore him to express your love to him and acknowledge him and exalt him, but you, in your prayers, should include confession of your sins. Confession of how you have failed to love him with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and failed to love your neighbor as yourself. What about the T? A-C-T. Well, the T stands for thanksgiving. Think how many benefits God has loaded you up with, how he has given and given and keeps on giving unto you. And God, by his Spirit, reminds us to be a thankful people for what he bestows upon us in our daily benefits, a thankful people for answered prayers, a thankful people for all that he has done for me, and to thank him daily. And so, A for adoration, C for confession of my sins, T for thanksgiving in my prayers to God, the giver of every good and every perfect gift. And S for supplication, or we might say intercession, that we would pray for ourselves and for one another, that we would be praying for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. We can think of the Lord's Prayer in this regard and the petitions which are included in the Lord's Prayer. What's the first petition? Maybe I could ask the children here today. What's the first thing that we ask God in the Lord's Prayer? We pray, hallowed be your name. We pray, God, cause your name to be regarded as holy, set apart. Cause your name to be revered by me and by all of your people and by all the world. We pray the second petition, thy kingdom come. Cause your kingdom of grace to advance in this world, that ones would be plundered out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed the day would be hastened when Christ returns in glory to usher in the kingdom of glory. These are the things of supplication, of petition, of intercession. Lord, we pray that your will would be done on earth in exactly the same way that it's done in heaven. By me, by my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, by the Church of Jesus throughout the world, and that you would cause your will, your revealed will, to be obeyed, even by all people, right? We could continue on through the Lord's Prayer and all of its petitions, but here are all kinds of prayer, right? Praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And so, yes, we need prayer. God gives the gift of prayer. We feel our bankruptcy in prayer. We see God's provision for prayer in the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we see the time for prayer. We need to devote particular time to praying, and we see the kinds of prayer which is to be included, which are to be included in our praying to the Lord. Maybe this will be a helpful acronym for you, ACTS. Sometimes we come to prayer and we don't know what to pray. We struggle. And we therefore can be easily distracted. We can, as it were, even just fall asleep. But here, perhaps, is a help to you as you think about time for prayer, kinds of prayer. Thirdly, the language of prayer. The language of a prayer. A prayer always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What should the form or the language of prayer sound like? Well, two things I want to again draw to your attention here. On the one hand, you have a choice to make when you pray. You can pray vocally, with your tongue, with your voice. You can pray silently, as it were, with your thoughts. Or you can pray by writing your prayers out, right? And it's very interesting to me as I read Scripture and as I consider the history of God's people throughout the ages, that ordinarily prayer is vocal. Even private prayer is vocal. We use our voice to pray. We lift up our voice to pray. It's really only in the modern age, the last 250 years or so, that private prayer has become silent prayer. That is not something which we actually see in the practice of the history of the church and even in the Bible. Ordinarily, it's vocal. And I think there's something to learn in that when we speak out loud our prayers, actually our thoughts are better focused. And the distractions which tempt us are less. And so I commend to you the idea then of vocal praying, even in your private praying. Silent prayer, God hears as well. But I do commend to you the practice of the church for many, many centuries. But what about written prayers? After all, we have the book of Psalms, for example, many of them written prayers. Is there a place for writing your prayers out to the Lord? Well, if using your voice in prayer helps to focus you, how much more writing your prayer out to focus your thoughts with, as it were, precision and praise to the Lord? And if you've never written out prayers before, I would encourage you in the appointed time for prayer that you consider that as an exercise, that you write out your prayer to the Lord and then read it out loud to God after you have written it out. And sometimes, again, like I said, we struggle with, how do we do this? How do we pray? Well, here's the language of prayer, the form of prayer. So we have a choice to make when we pray, right? Vocal, silent, written. But also, in terms of content, we have a choice to make. We can pray extemporaneously. And what I mean is we pray without any form prayer in front of us, but we pray extemporaneously as far as what comes to our thinking, and we can pray in that way. But we can also pray in a guided way. And what I mean by that is that we think of the scriptural forms of prayer. I've already made mention of the Lord's Prayer. Now, you can say the Lord's Prayer completely rotely and it not mean a hill of beans to you. In fact, you could probably be playing your Nintendo video game while you say the Lord's Prayer and it mean absolutely nothing to you. But you can also use the Lord's Prayer as a form to guide you in your praying, to guide you with biblical substance, and help you to, again, not get distracted in your praying. You can think of the apostolic prayers, which are recorded for us at the beginning or the end of many of the epistles which we find in the New Testament. Again, using them as a guide for prayer. I don't know what to pray. Well, God has provided the Lord's Prayer. He's provided the apostolic prayers. He's provided the entire book of Psalms as a guide for prayer which is acceptable unto Him and according to His will. And it is interesting as you either use the Lord's Prayer or the apostolic prayers or the book of Psalms for guiding your prayer, that you will pray for things that you ordinarily would never think of if you're just praying extemporaneously. But this is the way in which the Holy Spirit works to turn, as it were, Scripture into the breath of prayer in God's blood-bought people. You can also think of other compositions of prayer throughout the ages, which may again be helpful. We, in ones who speak the English language, can perhaps become familiar with the Book of Common Prayer of the Anglican Church, and particularly the earlier editions of the Book of Common Prayer, where there are many scripture-saturated prayers which are in the Book of Common Prayer. Now, you can pray those by reading them meaningfully to the Lord, and you can also use them as a guide for prayer. They're not to be prayed rotely. Some of you are familiar with Arthur Bennett's edited work called The Valley of Vision, a collection of Puritan prayers put out by Banner of Truth Press. An excellent, again, guide for a prayer. There is a book which you may not be familiar with, which I would highly recommend to you, that's written by Matthew Henry. Many of you are familiar with who Matthew Henry is, the great commentator on the whole Bible. He wrote a book which is called A Method for Prayer. It was recently republished in the late 1990s and has actually gone through several printings at this point. An absolutely fantastic book on prayer. What he's done is he's taken Scripture passages from the Bible, and he has sewn them together topically into reverent, godly prayers. Wonderful guides for praying to the Lord. And so there are a number then of things out there that can help you in growing, learning, being trained to call upon the Lord as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn the language of Zion, we might even say, and to put into practice the forms of prayer which God has provided for you in His holy word. And so even as we think then about praying always with all prayer and supplication, right away. We're confronted with the time that's needed for prayer, the kinds of prayer which should be included, and the language of prayer or the form of prayer. Fourthly, we see in verse 18 the need for perseverance in prayer. The need for perseverance in prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Being watchful. I said last week that literally it means to be awake. To be awake in your praying, not sleeping. To be one who has a watchful persistence in prayer, a certain vigilance and daily consistency in praying to the Lord. God has taken pains to speak to you, and He calls upon you to respond in faith, hope, and love in believing a prayer. Now, how can you persevere in prayer without giving up, without being distracted, without setting yourself up for failure? Well, let me suggest to you, again, the use of your body. A lot of times we think about our bodies being that which drag us down spiritually, and that they are, in fact, an enemy of us when it comes to serving the Lord faithfully. I have bodily desires which fight against God's holy law. But your body can be of assistance to your soul in praying. How so? It's interesting when you look in Scripture. Well, I'll ask the question. Do people pray with their eyes closed or with their eyes open? They pray with their eyes open. And Jesus lifted up His eyes to heaven and prayed, right? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray with your eyes closed, but if you're tired and you want to pray with your eyes closed, I can almost tell you what's going to happen. You're going to fall asleep, right? So use your body to help you. Keep your eyes open when you pray, right? You say, well, I'll be distracted by the things which I see. Well, look up to the sky. Look up to the ceiling. Look to the Word of God, to the forms of prayer which are there, right? But pray. Pray with your eyes open. If you struggle with falling asleep, with weariness when you pray, pray with your eyes open. Again, you can use your bodies to help you to pray by kneeling when you pray. It's the posture that we see very often in Scripture for prayer. Now, we here at First Church of Merrimack, we don't have kneelers in our pews. Some of you might think, well, that's a Roman Catholic practice. Well, no. It's very appropriate to pray. And my wife, who spent a few years in the Mennonite church, when they prayed publicly in the public assembly, you better be ready if you were sitting next to somebody, because they were going to turn around and they were going to hit the floor with their knees and pray facing that way. And if you weren't ready, you'd get hit when they turned around, right? But we can use the assistance of our bodies in praying by kneeling. Now, I dare say that some of us could fall asleep while we're kneeling. But it's probably harder to fall asleep while you're kneeling than in a nice, comfy chair when you're in a position of relaxation. Right? Other ways in which to use the body to assist you in persevering in prayer. Use your hands. What do you mean, use your hands? What's the posture that we see? I lift up my hands to the Lord. I think I've said it before to the children. Children, go home this afternoon and lift up your hands and see how long you can hold them up in prayer. Right? Remember Moses? When Aaron and Hur had to hold up his hands, right, as he prayed for the armies of Israel as they were in battle with the Amalekites. Use your hands. Open your eyes, lift up your hands, hit your knees. Lord, hear me. There's a certain earnestness which comes with using our bodies as we pray to the Lord. Use your feet. Walk while you pray. Right? Have trouble staying awake? Walk while you pray. Walk while you pray. Now, my nephew got in trouble walking in the cemetery when he was an intern here many years ago. Walked in the cemetery with his hands stretched out praying, and there was a complaint, I think, from the town as to who's this weird guy walking through the cemetery with his hands raised up. Well, so be it. Let the people complain. If it's helping you in your perseverance in prayer, God has given you a soul. He's also given you a body. And make use of these things as one who perseveres in prayer. Think of Luke chapter 18 and the persistent widow who went to the unjust judge every day. She had no inkling that he was going to ever give in to her requests. In other words, she was given a discouraging word every time that she went, but she persevered in prayer. And she went every day. And finally, the unjust judge says, this woman is going to wear me out. I better just do what she says so that I don't get worn out by her daily bothering of me. Now, we don't daily bother our God. But we're to be persistent in praying. I think of the persistent mother of Matthew chapter 15, a Canaanite. And that right away, red flag should go up. Jesus is in the area, the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite comes to him. The Canaanites had a target on their back, right? They were condemned of the Lord. A Canaanite comes and pleads with Jesus that he would come and heal her daughter who was demon-possessed. And Jesus gave no indication that he was going to answer her request, but she kept persevering. She kept persevering. Finally, the disciples said, can you just send her away? She is annoying. Finally, Jesus answers her and says, it's not good to give the children's food to the dogs. Whew. Well, I guess I'll just put my tail between my legs and go away. The woman, no. Even the little dogs eat the scraps which fall from the children's table. And Jesus says, you have great faith. May it be unto you as you have desired. And her daughter's healed. Persevering in prayer. Praying for that child who has gone astray. Praying for that child who has gone astray. Praying for that child who has gone astray. Not giving up. Praying in perseverance. And so God tells us about the time for prayer, the kinds of prayer, the language of prayer, the perseverance in prayer, and the intercession of prayer, lastly. The intercession of prayer. Verse 18 again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. And it's these last four words here, for all the saints. For all the saints. Praying on behalf of others. Praying concerning all the saints. Oh, it is here that we express our heartfelt concern for the army of the Lord as a whole. That we don't just pray for ourselves, but we pray for all the saints. That's interesting how this has been twisted in church history. For the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church to say that the saints need to pray for us. Well, first of all, they've misdefined who the saints are. And they're not listening to what God says here. That we are to pray for all the saints. That is, for all those who are sincerely trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, have been set apart from sin and service to the devil, and set apart unto God's sacred service in His Son. These are the saints. In fact, I can name some of them for you here today. There's St. Tabitha. There's St. Gregory. There's St. Ian. There's St. Sharon. These are the saints. These are the saints whom we are to pray for. And God calls us to pray for one another as we have locked arms together as the people of God underneath of the captain of our salvation in the army of the Lord. We're not in this alone. But we pray for one another, for all the saints, for all who call upon the Lord in sincerity and truth. We pray that all the saints would be protected from Satan and would prevail against Satan as the advancing army of the Lord. That's the context, right? Now, I don't have the time this morning to go into what I was going to and talk about this more practically. What does it look like to pray for all the saints? How do we put that into practice? That can sound overwhelming. After all, there's 2.1 billion professing Christians living in the world today. And even if we want to say 90% of those are hypocrites, I don't think you're right, but if you wanted to say that, you still have 210 million people to pray for. That's a lot. That's a lot. So how do we pray for all the saints? Well, minimally, we pray, right, for the army of the Lord collectively, that we would be protected from Satan and the wiles which he would seek to attack us with, and that we would prevail against Satan in advancing the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would do that together. And that we need each and every soldier in the army in his or her position and place, in his or her regiment, in his or her unique gifting to be the army of the Lord, girded with the belt of truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking up the shield of faith, taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And we need to be praying this for the army, for the true people of God. This is what it means to be united to Christ and to one another. And so, as we come to a close here this morning, as we think about the realities of combining believing prayer with the armor of God, that we recognize that this is the glue that Christ uses to keep us all together. Standing in his strength, speaking on his behalf, striving with all boldness, and succeeding in his cause. And what is it that prevents us from doing this? What is it that prevents us from praying like this? Is it your pride? That you don't think you need to? That you're above needing the help of the Lord? Is it unbelief? It's useless to pray. God doesn't hear anyway. He certainly doesn't answer prayer. Is it that you have no desire to spend with God? To spend time with him? Is it that you have the absence of an enduring motivation to do so? Oh, the Lord. The Lord calls us tenderly and powerfully today through his word to be a people characterized by prayer, taking time to pray, praying with adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication, praying with the language of Zion, praying as persevering in prayer, and praying for all the saints. And Christ doesn't just call us to this. He equips us to this. For he is the great prayer leader. And he is the one who holds us together. Against such prayer, the devil, principalities, and powers stand helpless. This is the way the kingdom advances. the armor, bathed in prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are humbled before you to consider how little we pray. And yet we ask that you would train us and teach us, that we would practice to become proficient in prayer, that we would see the great gift that you have given to us, the great provision of your Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray and enable us to pray, that we would be amazed that as we come in the name of your Son, that you hear us, and that you are desirous to advance the cause and the name and the fame of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the prayers of your people. You have ordained it, even from before the foundation of the world. Help us to believe. Help our unbelief. Make us a people of prayer. And so, Father, may we hear again your promise that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.